All right, we're going to take off close to where we was at last week. It's hard to keep up, even myself, of where I was at. But we're going to be back looking at rightly dividing the Word of God, taking and putting some divisions that are in the Bible, and try not to be too complicated with them. But last week we were looking at the scripture, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you see, it's telling you how and why to do it. And so we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing. Well, dividing is a negative thing, as I said last week. You're cutting something loose from something else. You're dividing it because it's different. And I guess I'll just start right here this morning and go back and look at a little bit. Last week, in Luke 16:16, we said the law and the prophets were until John. That's what Jesus said. He said the law and the prophets were until John. And we know that the New Testament was not, get that door, Melvin, please for me. And the law and the prophets were until John, Jesus said, when we know that the death of the tester started the New Testament, right? Amen. That's simple and that's clear. There's no New Testament without the death of the tester. So that puts us at a time period in there. So we talked a little bit about ultra-dispensationalists, or known as hyper-dispensationalists. And a hyper-dispensationalist or an ultra-dispensationalist likes to have that line and put everything to the left or to right of that line. But I hope today as we go through here and we look at some covenants, and some of those covenants went right on through. When God made a covenant with Noah, we're enjoying the blessings of that, aren't we? That he would not curse this earth again because of the sin of man. But he's going to do it, ain't he? Because it's going to melt with fervent heat. All right? Some of that's at the end. So some of those covenants go right on through. So we have to be careful when we rightly divide. Like I showed you last week, if we say that grace, that Paul started the grace, right? Oh, he was given all the mysteries of it. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So you got to explain that. And they say if the church, if Paul started the church, then Paul made the statement in, I think it's Romans, is it Romans 6? Yeah, Romans 16, where he said he was giving salutations to people, and he said, who were in Christ before me? If he started it, how did they get in there before him? You see the little problems you come into as you go through that. So last week I told you about Scofield and Bullinger. Now, a lot of hyper-dispensationalists will follow Bullinger. And we're talking about some men of God now. We don't get judgmental on these guys. We're talking about guys in times that were tough, serving God and going with it. But here's a seven times that I think it would pretty well determine Scofield and Bullinger. And you look here, the Edenic state, and I hope I've spelled these right. And that's the state of innocence. That's the Garden of Eden and Adam. So you can clearly see a time that there was the Garden of Eden, and Adam was in that garden, wasn't he? And people who say that grace, if salvation is the same in the Old Testament as it is in the New Testament, how do you say that? He didn't tell Adam to have faith in anything. He said, don't eat. He said, if you eat it, you'll die. And he ate it, and he died. He died physically, and he died spiritually. People will say that in the Old Testament, they were looking forward to Calvary. And in the New Testament, we're looking back to Calvary. Well, we are looking back to Calvary. But they weren't looking forward to Calvary. Adam, Jesus was, and God was, and we were in him before the foundation of the world. And I can't explain that to you. If I could, I'd be up there with him. All right? So you had the Adamic state, the patriarchal, Abraham, and all of this crowd. Then you have Israel under the law. That's a time period. And if you go back in your Bible, you will see, you'll clearly see a division in these times. Like last night, I was looking at Genesis 12. That's after, you know, Noah's, his times went away, and all of a sudden, God tells Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. You can clearly see a time period starting, right? And what does Abraham do? He said, get thee away from thy kindred. And what's he do? He grabs his nephew and takes him with him. And he made the Hebrews chapter 11, the faith. You know, faith only, the word faith only occurs, what, two times in the Old Testament. In the whole Old Testament, two times. But in Hebrews, it's mentioned about these guys several times. All right? Israel, under the law, Moses, and God's dealing with a character here. Do you realize that? He's going to deal with a character. Adam, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and Paul. Israel, judicial. That's judgment. All right, so you go here. Then you've got Israel under the law. Then you've got the church of God. That's spiritually baptized into Christ, the church of God. And then Israel judicial, the millennium, and eternal. And the reason that I like this, and I don't argue the points with it, because some of them's going to put eight in there. They're going to put a gap theory up here in Genesis 2 and 3. That's a time. And it could be there. But I like these that Scofield and Bullinger had laid out here. I liked it. Why do I like this? Because it matches my Bible. The Adamic state matches the eternal glory. Right? Adam was in that garden. And he said, man, you've got eternal life. Just don't eat that fruit. Don't eat it. Works. Right? Patriarchal. Matches the millennium. Doesn't it? Ruling. His saints ruling with him. Kings and judges and his people. All right? Israel under the law. Israel judged. See that? Israel judged the tribulation period. The church goes out in chapter 4 because we're not appointed to wrath of Revelation. And God judges Israel 5 through 17. That's Israel judicial. This stands completely alone. Completely alone. The church of God. It don't match any of these. Look at your chart right there in that green. You can't poke that in anywhere else. That if you're going to rightly divide the Bible and rightly divide the Word of God, you're going to see that you have a spiritual baptism. He said in Acts 2:38, and I'll get into that. He said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and you'll receive the Holy Spirit. Is that not receiving the Holy Spirit by baptism? Shake your head one way or the other. Yeah. Buddy, we receive the Holy Spirit. When we, as I said last week, those songs, and they're beautiful songs. I go to funerals and I'm amazed at the doctrinal confusion. And they sing a beautiful song in one of the funerals I was at. I just walked by the tree of life, took a drink of living water. Like I said, I took a drink of living water a long time ago. You see what I'm talking about? This stands alone. And I ain't waiting until I get there to take a drink of living water. Amen. Jesus said, this water that I give you, you'll never thirst again. Amen. Amen? Amen? So this stands alone. In my Bible, if I take, now There's arguments, and they're good ones. And I wouldn't engage in them because I'm not that smart. But I can take my Bible and go to Acts chapter 9 and I can fold that. Some people say Acts 15 after the conference. But I see it the calling of Paul, Acts chapter 9, and I take that, folks, and I turn it, and I keep going. And I go to another book that says Hebrews. And I go to James, and it says, look what it says. A servant of God unto the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes, which are scattered abroad. You see that? Then I go on and to them have obtained like precious faith and Peter with us through the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. If I take my Bible now and I fold it from Hebrews, Acts 9, you know what? I've still got a complete book. I still have a complete book. Dealing with the Jews. Look here. If God rapture, if we come down through here and all these things happen, then we got the cross, and then we got the church of God, and then we got the rapture. He goes back to dealing with Israel again. He's wrote some books for Israel. When you get into doctrinally every schism, every one of them, and I challenge you, if you keep this chart and look at this chart, and some Jehovah Witness comes by and talks to you, and he does use his King James Bible, he's going to be pulling scriptures that apply here in this purple. Yes, he will. He's going to, but and then Herbert W. Armstrong, mm-hmm. Who's a Jew. They made themselves spiritual Jews. They don't see that God is going to restore Israel. Why? How is that a resurrection? Israel. Ezekiel 37. They're going to be. Well, can these bones live? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can live.
Oh yeah.
And he told you who they were. Said this is the whole nation of Israel, didn't he? Right down in it. I'm not trying to get complicated. I'm not able to. Okay. But I do. When I read this book, the novice, when he turns in this thing and he goes to Malachi, and Malachi is an introduction. Just like John the Baptist was an introduction to Jesus, and just like Ephesians, one book will introduce the other one. Romans and Galatians. Romans, saved by grace through faith plus nothing. Galatians, kept by grace through faith plus nothing. One will introduce the other one. John the Baptist introduced Jesus. And Jesus brought grace and truth. You see, and this one stands alone. It's in parentheses. And God has grafted us in, and he'll rapture us out. And then he'll go back to dealing with Israel again in another period of time. So you have to recognize periods of time. And like I said, the novice is going to read this book, and he's going to see two different ones. The Old Testament and the New Testament. I mean, when you first got saved, you seen a difference, didn't you? But you see, that's not the end of it. It's obvious there's more than that. And the Bible has to be rightly divided. And people will take these scriptures that apply right here and develop a foundation for a church. Acts 2:38, you repent and be baptized for the remission. There are churches who say you have to be baptized to be saved. They're taking a time period and plugging it over here, and it don't go. I'm baptized. I was baptized, but it was a symbol of what happened spiritually. You see this right here for this Gentile, this bride. Now there's but one thing that'll confuse you if you don't watch it. there's Gentiles in here. There's Gentiles in here. And then there's Jews in here. There's some saved Jews in here. Okay? But this one will not. If I go down through here, Jesus, you realize that this first row on your chart will mingle with any one of them. It will mix with either one of these because Jesus is going to be, hey, he's the one that died for us. He's the one that rose again, become the first fruits. And he's the one that blinded Israel. And he's the one that's going to judge this whore. And that Antichrist, the mystery of iniquity. So he matches all of them. But this one matches none of them, but this one. It don't match these. We don't receive the Holy Spirit by baptism, like some churches teach. We received the Holy Spirit when we accepted Jesus, but we were baptized spiritually into Jesus Christ. We're baptized spiritually. All right? If I follow this, judgments, self-judgment, and the seed of Christ. Paul said if we judge ourselves, we need not be judged. How do we judge ourselves? With that book. Looking into the perfect law of liberty. It's a mirror. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And what he's telling me there, I could take a lot of heat off of me if I judge myself. That's what he's telling me. So, you see how these don't mingle together? And I can't take these and go over here. There's, all right. Folks, we could just go on and on and on about this. But if I take the judgments and people, all right, let's take what Paul said in Thessalonians. These people were sorrowing because of their loved ones, right? And he said, I would not have you to be ignorant. He wants us to know these mysteries. Mystery of the rapture. He don't want us to be ignorant of these mysteries. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that sleep, that you sorrow not as those who have no hope. We're not to sorrow like those who have no hope. And he don't want us to be ignorant of that. And you go on into these. These, they don't mix. That's just as simple as it can be. The nations, there's going to be a judgment. And people will look at the judgment of nations and the white throne judgment and think they're going to be judged on their works. Right? And they think they're going to be weighed in the balance. You better look on the other side and see who you're going to be weighed against. You can't match him. You remember Romans chapter 3? Redemption and propitiation. Redemption is the price, the payment made, and propitiation is the payment accepted. God would not accept anything but his own blood. His own blood. That's all he would accept for sins. So this judgment here, a judgment of nations and the judgment of Israel. Israel is going to be judged right there. That tribulation period, they're going to take off, ain't they?
Yes, sir.
But he's going to restore them. That's under the restoration up there. All right. Now, let's move on and I'll get back to the lesson. But I hope you see why we've done those charts, why you look. And like I say, those ideas here, this is not mine, okay? I did lay it out and choose that it had to be colored and put the lines in there. But I read books on seven baptisms, seven resurrections, and I said this needs to be in a chart and put it in the chart. And more than I did it, the more I seen the hand of God, man, we got mass confusion in the Word of God because people are trying to put square pegs in a round hole and fill the hole. It don't work. And people, there's saved people in ever denomination. I'm sure of that. And I had an experiment this weekend. I went to put a camper shell on my truck. Went up to Hickory, had a lot on my mind. Pull in there, and you know you're always, is this paint going to match? Is this going to look the same? And you're looking at things like this. And when I was there, the guy had to drive my truck. Well, I've got the sword that you gave me hanging on the dash. That's where I keep it, hanging on the dash of my truck. And he thought it was a cross. And he come to me with one of my tracks, and he said, I hope you don't mind I took one of these. And he said, I seen your cross. He said, are you a man of God? No, I'm a child of God. And he said, are you a man of God? He said, you know, I've been having problems all morning. And he said, then all of a sudden I get in this truck, and there's that cross. And over here in the left-hand side, and he had chosen the track out of my side pocket there that says, are you barking up the wrong tree? And he said, I hope you don't mind that I took this. And I said, oh, no. I said, I should have given you one when I first got here. But I took and gave him the book. I always like to hand out that Rick's got for the kids in the prisons on Romans and John. It's got the scriptures marked. And I talked to him a little bit, and I gave him one of them. And he appeared to me to be Muslim. But God works in mysterious ways. And the Holy Spirit works in mysterious ways, folks. His word is going out. And in this time that we live in, and I'm going to rumble a lot today to get us into a part in the next couple of weeks. And the grace of God, right? There's two things that said, like in Ephesians chapter 1 and Colossians, I think, and 3, and in Colossians 1, where there, people will say the dispensation of the grace of God, there's no such thing. Okay? That's what they say. And some scholars who I would not sit down with, I'm telling you. But still yet, God gave me this book. And I'm going to read it. And if this book don't tell me that, I don't care who said it. And if it don't line up, and I can't poke it in them things. One of the guys that I love to read behind, I disagreed with on that. He said there's no such thing as the dispensation of the grace of God. Because grace was a never dispensation. He uses this example. He says, all right, and look, that David, under the law, should have died, right? When he committed adultery. Yes, sir, he's supposed to die. He's supposed to have been killed. But God showed him grace. But that's not grace of God. That's grace, God showing grace. The grace of God is that he would shed his own blood for us and die for us. I have no problem with that statement. And people will take that statement and say, well, grace is in every dispensation, so how could you have a dispensation of grace? Simple, because it's the grace of God. And because of redemption, yes, sir, and because of propitiation, that it was God's grace that he would die for you. And he died at a certain time in a certain place in history. All right? And the reason I ask this same question, when I take the Holy Spirit and put it in Thessalonians, that's what withholds everything, okay? People will say, and I'll say that the Holy Spirit is what is gone, right? And then that Antichrist is revealed. And people will say, well, the Holy Spirit's always been here. Okay? Well, it has always been here. But don't you forget one thing. Jesus said, except I go away, he will not come. If he's always been here, why does he have to come? You better read it and you better answer these questions. They're simple questions, but they're problem questions. And the fact of the matter is that grace is in every dispensation, but there is a dispensation of the grace of God. And it was given to Paul for you. Amen. I don't care who says it's not. They can't show me that. Because I can look at that Holy Spirit there in First Thessalonians. He said that when it happens, what happens? Let's just go. I don't even know where I got it wrote down at, but I want to. You look at the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we talked about a few weeks ago, we talked about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. All right, what's the Holy Spirit to do in this dispensation? Reprove the world of sin. Just think is when there's no reproof. We got some reproof going on in this county right now. We got some men standing up and saying, I'm going to pray in Jesus' name. That's reproof. Well, what if it's gone? What if it's after the rapture and the Holy Spirit's taking these men out? It's going to be some bad news, ain't it? That's when the Antichrist, this world is preparing the way for him now. These people will buy anything. They'll buy a bill of goods, buddy. They will buy it. That's why I'm so careful about salvation and selling vacuum cleaners. Preacher used it the same way. A lot of times I should have been selling vacuum cleaners. I'd have made some money. Things should be done God's way. All right? So, I lost my train of thought there, jumping that off. But he's to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, I challenge you to do this. We did it in the last lesson. You take John 16, where these things are said, then go back to 1 Thessalonians and look at the wording of judgment and righteousness. These words are used there. They're used there, just like that. But when he's gone, and as I was telling you before, our preacher preached, and when he used it, the example, it's the church. It's the church. I mean, the church is gone. That's as good as I've heard. Because who's going to be gone? Who's going to take the church out of here? What's moving the church? What is the one thing that brings us all together? Say it. The Holy Spirit indwelling us. And when it takes us out of here, it's on. Okay? And that's a time period. And it's right in here. And God goes back again dealing with that, with Israel and in judgment. All right? So he's to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. And he is to guide. What will it be like with no guidance? It's just about, we're seeing it now, no guidance. He's to speak God's word. What if there's not God's word to reprove the world of sin? He's to show things to come. He's to glorify God. Now this is where I'm careful how I say this. And I understand the Holy Spirit. But you know, a lot of people in churches today are worshiping the Holy Spirit. Oh, come Holy Spirit. Oh, come Holy Spirit. What did he say? What did Jesus say? He will honor me. You can go through a service. Have you ever seen it? You ever seen it? I bet you Rick has. Travel much as he travels. Barn, boy, the whole house is on fire. And Jesus ain't even been mentioned. Mystery of iniquity. He has blinded the mystery of iniquity. You got right on your chart there. And Paul said it already is at work. All right? So he's to reprove the world of sin. He's to fulfill the Bible and show it unto you. All right? And he's to quicken you. Romans 8. So if the Holy Spirit, now listen to me, think on these things. If the Holy Spirit is what quickens a man now and he takes off, what's going to quicken him in the tribulation? Faith plus works. James said, I'll show you my faith by my works. You've got to be careful when you take James and judge people. Because Paul said, he's as different as night and day. He said, by grace through faith plus nothing. You are saved by grace through faith plus nothing. You are kept by grace through faith plus nothing. That's a Galatian. Romans says I'm saved by it. Why? Because it's the faith of God and his righteousness. On all them that what? Oh, yeah. Believe. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right? There's just so much that I can hit on this stuff. But I'm going to go back to this and start back again. Luke 16:16, the law and the prophets were until John. All right, so what's that telling me? If the law and the prophets were until John, the law and the prophets, that's some 2,500 years before the law came. So that's another time. And when we start doing this and we start looking at a dispensation, we start looking at the dispensation, turn to Ephesians 2:19. You got to look at the definition of dispensation. A dispensation, I'm not going to have time. I'm not even going to be able to get into these covenants, but Ephesians 2:19. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. A dispensation is how the husbandman, the father, the ruler of the house, runs his house in a certain period of time. So when those time periods changed, the house was run different. And as I said last week, what God has put asunder, let no man put together. What God has put together, let no man put asunder. That's what he said. But if God's put it asunder, don't put it back together. God said it's a better testament. In Hebrews, he said there's a better way by his own blood. Hebrews is a better testament. I told a guy at work one time, he was telling me, you got to live it. I said, I'm in a new and better way. I said, your way is old and worse. Oh, I got scripture. Yeah, you got scripture, but you're in the wrong time. You're in the wrong time. That's old and worse. I want what's better, don't you? And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. All sin. Past, present, and future. It amazes me. The better testament is in Hebrews 7:22, 2 Corinthians 3:14, John 1:17. No one in the Old Testament. Now people look at me like a calf looking at a new gate when I say some of these things. But no one in the Old Testament had his sins paid for permanently or was redeemed. The blood of bull and goats wouldn't do it. Took the blood of his own son. The blood of bull and goats would do it. And now, whether we like it or not, I've got more times here, and we could put transitional periods in here. Okay? There's a transitional period in Acts, in the beginning of Acts. There's a transitional period there that's taken some people who believed the Messiah, and getting them under the right, getting them grandfathered in. That's a fact. Because one group of them said, we've not as much as heard of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Yeah,
but they were doing what the husbandman said to do at that time. But what it says in Hebrews, after being enlightened, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but the fearful waiting of the judgment. You know what he's telling them, Hebrews? You've been told. Bring that lamb, bring anything you want. It won't do you a bit of good. God won't even smell it. It used to be a sweet savor, but it ain't no more. Because he turned all his wrath on his son. Don't you come at him with works. I'm going to tell you something, folks. These people in these churches who are living in Matthew 5 through 7. You know what the Matthew 5 through 7 is? Matthew 5 through 7 is the constitution of the kingdom of heaven. Israel, Israel. Grace and truth now came by Jesus Christ. Okay. Right? But the New Testament come by the death of the tester. And I'm going to read you something that I said and I wrote last night. I'm not, bells rung and we got to get out of here. Pay particular attention to some time periods here and what's going on. The Lord Jesus Christ sent his forerunner, John the Baptist. John preaches the first preaching of the kingdom of heaven. Now, there's prophecy all through there. But, brother, we got a man walking on the scene who says it's here. Make the path straight. Prepare you the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Then when he looks down the road and he sees the Lamb, can you imagine? God reveal, this is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Like I've got in the lessons, you know what God didn't say? John's in there, and John's down there in prison. And Jesus says, and they say, you know, people say John's backslid. How many preachers you ever heard say that? Come on. Jesus said there's no greater man than John the Baptist. But Jesus said, John said, are you the one, the Messiah? Or should we look for another? But you know, there's one thing John knew. You know what John knew? John knew his Bible. He said, go tell him the lame walk, the blind see, receive their sight. And he, that's all John needed to lay his head down, folks. Like Thomas. They take old Thomas and beat him up. But you know what Thomas said? Peter said, be it far from you, Lord. You're not going. Thomas said, let us go up and die with him. Huh? Did he not say that? How many people would do that? He said, let us go up and die with him. But when he didn't get, when it didn't happen, old Thomas knowed he was fighting a battle that he was going to win. If I'm going to die, I'll be resurrected. Let's go up and fight with him. Let's go die with him. If he's going to die. But, buddy, when they lost that Messiah, they were rejected because they're going into another time. They looked into that tomb and said, for who hath taken our Lord? For these things were hid from them, neither knew they what he said. You better not ever forget that scripture. Okay? Now, John come preaching the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. The fowls of the air. Now, Jesus explains it, don't he? What these are. The fowls of the air devoured it. They did not understand John. They rejected him. That's the first sowing. Now, I realize, don't go out of here and say he's saying the sowings are not for the church. Yeah, they're for the church. They apply, but they're not doctrinally to the church. Okay? Scripture has to be placed doctrinally. You can take it and have God-backed preaching on how the Word of God is treated in the church age. But it's not the doctrinal explanation of it. I'm giving that to you. They didn't understand him. They rejected him. Okay? The Lord Jesus himself preaches. And what's the Bible say? And Anon, with joy they received it. But as soon as... Now, this is his definition of it. Okay? His definitions of the sowings. He said, and Anon with joy they received it, but as soon as tribulation arises, because of what? The word. They reject him and went away. In John 6:63, Jesus says, does this offend you? You know, he asked the disciples, will you also go away? See, the wording's the same, folks. The wording's even the same there. He said, will you also go away? He said, the words See, they were offended by the word. And he said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part of me. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they're life. They were offended by the word and by that. Now watch this. He tells 12 men, as my father has sent me to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, as my father has sent me, even so send I you. Jesus said, begin at Jerusalem to the Jews only. Right? As I've sent you. All right? That's that sowing that the disciples did. And what sniffed it out? The cares of this world. See, that wording's even the same. Because in that kingdom church and in that kingdom of heaven, there'll be no rich and there'll be no poor. They'll all be the same. But these people said, I worked hard for this. I'm not giving it. That's like that guy that went into the field and worked all day, wasn't he? Huh? He worked all day, and he got the same thing as the man that worked an hour. I didn't like that. Never did. Still don't think much of it. Because when you work hard, but you see, it's not up to us. It's up to God. And he dispenses grace. We don't. So, the next sowing, the fourth sowing, hadn't happened yet. That's on good ground. This ain't good ground around here. This is not good ground. And you'll notice, we'll get there. It's going to take us a while to get through this. Right here, and we're going to get out of here. I'm sorry about that. But in Noah, in the covenant with Noah, in that time, he said, I won't curse the earth again. Right? Because of that sinfulness and bad heart that's in man. So why does he say in Revelation chapter 7, touch not the earth until I have sealed in their foreheads. And then, brother, when he seals it, there's boo-coo people say, that's good ground. Right? That 144,000, he said, touch not the earth. Man, that if that don't excite you, about the word of God, then you just ain't going to get excited. And then when somebody wads it up and puts it in the casserole, say, I'm going to take the chicken. I don't want the mayonnaise. But see, that's what's happening, is we're taking the Bible and we're making the casserole out of it. And we're saying the people in the Old Testament was looking forward to Calvary and the people in the New Testament, and we're all saved the same way. That's not what the household manager said. It's not what he said, folks. He didn't say that. You can't show me where he did. The next answer to that, when I would make that statement, people would go to Abraham in Genesis chapter 22, when Abraham was imputed righteousness, and they take the offering of his son. No. Go back to Genesis 15. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed for him for righteousness. Before he took Isaac in chapter 22, he already had imputed righteousness in chapter 15. The household, the husbandman, does what he wants to in the dispensation. He wants to do it, and he does it different. And these churches need to get in their own mailbox. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you for this day you've given us. And God, thank you for your word. Pray that you'll bless in the next hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.